Colonel Wilson, Reel 2. You were just telling me that you thought that the VC should have been awarded for the whole group.
Yes. There's nothing unusual in there. That's happened before. But, well, people don't always admit it, but it's fine.
Now, just going back to the battle, how did the Vickers machine gun perform during the battle?
They were quite amazing. They knocked off the mountain two or three times, seemingly, obviously unpunished. One of them I noted was dated 1916, so it probably seen service in the in World War One. I couldn't fault them at all, and they were used beyond what the manual said we should do with them.
And what about your own Somalis, about their performance?
Well, they were absolutely amazing. I'm particularly a band of Somalis because I know their history. The British government has little to be proud of over the history of British Somaliland. To start with, it was taken over, the man from India, and all this, because the supplies of meat to the guys of Aden. Just before, in 1899, the Mullah, so called, raised the religious revolt against the Christian colonizer. He fighting against him, continued. He died probably at 1890. During that time, the British made protection treaties with various Somali clans, whom they continually let down, and here were these mercenary soldiers behaving quite arrogantly. So I can't speak too highly. I know you have all sorts of probably true, terrible things that some others have done and are doing, but I cannot speak too highly of them as I have found them.
And their performance in the battle that you were in?
They're tremendous. They couldn't have done more. Now, I will continue about Somalis because Sajidan Kajol, who incidentally is now a well-known name throughout British Somaliland, or was British Somaliland as regards to Somalis, he was the leader until he was killed. He was another sort of the leading force in that province. But years later, I was in London, and I was down here, telephone went, and Sivas Kajol's eldest son got my address from the Somali embassy. Did I remember his father? Of course I did. He came down and stayed with us. Well, from there, the family relationship, which was started by a shell, which Kajol shared with me, or I shared with Kajol, has developed. Solomon, another son of Kajol's, is a very close friend, my son Hamish, who goes to Somalia quite a lot. And we've even had Kajol's grandchildren staying down here. Now, that is an example of Somali initiative, having come to England to show the initiative, what question I got my name, show the initiative of seeking out the last person who saw his father. We wouldn't get many volunteers having the initiative to do that. So that's. We've been able to help the family occasionally with immigration as well. That is really interesting and an exciting development.
You said you got three pieces of shrapnel in you. Where did they hit you?
Well, very well. You can see the mark of this one.
One was under your left eye?
Yes, that was my own specs. And luckily, I ended up, that's a very small bit. Yeah. Luckily, it was up against the bank, I don't think it didn't help. None of the old man in the world business.
So one under your left eye, one in your right arm, and one in your left foot. What did you think of the performance of the Italian enemy?
The Italians had a they had extremely brave, and they certainly came on and took a lot of casualties. I'm not quite sure who we is, the ones that we saw were behaving in a very dashing way. The first day, there's another group, someone came across later, the commissioner of actions, Mussolini's kill off an unemployment, he sent him to colonize Eritrea, but we're not so keen.
In the battle, did you feel that your last days had come? Your last hours had come?
I don't think I ever did quite. I'm not quite sure why, looking back on this. I think I did much more fighting on other occasions,
Did the time seem to pass quickly during the battle, or did it seem to drag?
I can't remember. I think at times I was caught in so much security. I couldn't answer it.
How was it that you missed the order to withdraw?
I don't know. I didn't even know. I don't know. I was knocked about quite a bit. I was probably being the spot of my deafness. I couldn't tell you that. Perhaps it wasn't very given there, if I don't know.
Can you describe the scene when the enemy arrived to capture you?
I got, after a while, it was just about getting dusk, a sergeant of the North Rhodesia Nation, which we also not heard, presumably appeared. And with him, we set up the machine gun outside the doors. It was then dark, and obviously everybody else had gone. So we slipped down off the hill, and we went to where it was lower position, which we assumed would be still occupied. There wasn't one of the cell inside. And so we settled down to sleep. And then the next day, we were still looking around, and suddenly there was a burst of machine gun fire around us, one of the masses. And that was it. They gave in there.
What kind of troops were there? Was there an Italian in charge of them?
Yes.
Were they at all threatening?
They don't know. I think they were keen to take us alive. I don't think they want to kill us.
How did your Somalis react to being captured?
I don't think they were. I don't know. That's not what I suspected. It was easy to live. I mean, having got down off the hill, it was easy to get up. They couldn't find their own chaps in their own country. Couldn't have any problems sitting in there.
What was the name of the hill that you were on?
Observation Hill.
And whereabouts were you in captivity?
First of all, we were driven up to December. We were down to Diyadara, but our camp was at the Ugre in Eritrea.
What did the camp consist of? What did the POW camp consist of?
It wasn't a big camp. It was one house for officers. It wasn't a big camp. They weren't hostages, as I meant.
Did they feed you properly?
Yes, not badly.
Did you get any medical attention?
Yes. I was not nearly so severely injured as we were, fortunately.
About how long were you a POW for?
I think it's been about 7 months.
Was there any question of your being able to escape?
We had just about completed the unit in war. And the camp comes on, was it was a surprise that he's a son of it, and you know, when the Iron Troops all out. We're getting near the stage we're going to use it. We've been pretty difficult. Distances would be tremendous if we got up. Anyway, we were trying, yes.
Who was in charge of the tunnel?
I don't remember. It wasn't really organized.
What job did you do on the tunnel?
One of the things I did was to grow potatoes. And those potatoes were earth stuff. I can't remember. I didn't understand them very much. That was one of those jobs. It's really a tunnel, you've got to put the earth stuff there. And the small camp, that's not easy. So I was a keen gardener.
So you were released when the Italians were defeated in East Africa?
No, after all that, there was still quite a bit of fighting had to go on, but when they got past the Elbe, I can't remember the date, I can't remember how much more fighting was. No, the campaign wasn't over, but it was the road past, and the ISIS weren't sufficiently organised or keen to move us to another camp, and they didn't bother.
Which troops liberated you?
Apart from the fact that it was General William Pass Force, he was a member of the Berlin, so there was a family William Pass, I don't know what unit. The Star Defence Force was probably part of them, the first unit which actually arrived at the camp. But they didn't have to fight. The time they got to was the Guardsmen's and Sparkle.
Now, I think that you went to the Long Range Desert Group after this. Can you tell me how that came about?
That came about because two of us, our VSF and forces, we asked for two volunteers to go to Calvary and give evidence of how we'd been treated. And I thought this would be our last challenge. Yes, I guess we're embarrassed about going back to that way. We were in the UC, which I wasn't very happy about, so that came in a little bit. And then I went up to Carlisle, and I reported to they said, we're very close to, of course, to Haifa. I said, no. And then the chap said, well, you're going to be another UC, you go to RDG. And I said, no. So then I went back to the flat with a friend I was staying with. And he said, let's go to the church, the university of the red. So I went along there today, spirited. And I was assigned on as adjutant to Ralph Bagnall. Have you heard the name of him?
I've interviewed him.
The stutter. And I didn't really do anything very exciting with it, actually. I've been on the program a couple of times because I was adjutant. But they're tremendous people. The people knew a lot about them.
What kind of jobs did you do as adjutant?
Most administration, I suppose. The only thing that was most of us sort out the panic and poverty. It's fine with a bad one, I suppose. It's one of the most oasis. Whatever the adjutants do, I can't remember.
Arranging for supplies? Or discipline?
I truly don't remember. It wasn't a very formal unit. They were tremendous people. They were not what you might call pub tough. They were intelligent tough.
What was Bagnall like to work for?
He got quite niggly. I'm intelligent, of he had his moves.
By niggly, do you mean pernickety?
Oh, no.
Pernickety. Did he insist on small, on fine accuracy? Fine accuracy, pernickety.
Well, in terms of navigation, yes. The guidance of getting the man there. You see, whereas some people see the desert as water is difficult, with a chap like him, it's he's utterly at home. Oh, it's tremendous accuracy in navigation, and trails before going out on the trail. Tremendous care with exactly what the lands and what they took.
So you were with them in 1941, 42?
Yeah.
How did your time with the LRDG come to an end?
Well, I decided I had to go home. I've been bored ahead a long time.
But then later you went to Burma.
I went there later to the carrier, and then I went across. And then came over to Japan. We went to Burma. We went in after Kohima in Fargo when the Japs were in the Bay way. And I think the Red East Africa division was extremely intelligently used because they stood up to going through the Scarcelica Ball Valley in the monsoon, far, far better than the division that might have done. So I think they got extremely cheerful, uncomplaining. They had to put down Clayton Caldwell Rhodes for some stage that you'd come along and they say, and they put it Peter Williams, where's the bloody public works division? That sort of attitude. We're like British troops. And we got as far as the Shinbin, and we're just over it. And I was going to tell them, go back. And I went ahead, a second command battalion. Got as far as Maripolo, a bit time with typhus. It was for 2 months. And then I was down the Academy Sea, and went across the Officer Command Troops in Uganda.
Which battalion of the KAR was this?
In Burma?
Yes.
11th. Kenya Battalion. A very, very good battalion. Excellent.
What kind of fighting did they do with the Japanese in the Kibor Valley?
They were pushing the Japanese. The Japanese were, as far as they were capable, fighting the monks in America. But they were in a very bad way. You see, the Japs got into India. Connect them with our fellow Asians, would embrace us, feed us, and help us. And so their logistics, their arrangements for supplies and so on, were very, very poor. They were dying in a very smelly way all over the area.
What did the African Askaris think of the Japanese enemy?
Well, they didn't like them, obviously. They were terrible. We kept getting, we used to send a signal in each day, kill 13, kill whatever it was, but we kept getting signals that catch a prisoner or two for intelligence reasons. Well, they couldn't say it's no Askaris, it was just bend by these creatures. They wouldn't play on that. They weren't awfully impressed because the Japs, they didn't see the Japs at their most menacing. There's no debate about that. But one thing I do remember is that when a Jap, do you know what I mean by a Jif?
Yes.
When they've been in the desert rough, not the desert, but the jungle rough for a few days, awfully hard to see them approaching to know who they were. At best, the Japs were surrounding parties that then kept coming.
These were the Japanese Indian forces?
Yes.
Did you capture many of them?
We didn't have to capture them, they were sort of giving themselves up and passing them through. I can't really remember how many fighters there were.
In what kind of numbers were they?
I don't remember, but there was appreciable, enough amount of them was a factor.
So did they have much fight in them?
I don't think so. They didn't try to fight us. They've got to the stage of deciding what to fight us. And I don't think they were successful anyway.